All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, number one, for being here tonight. I appreciate you. You love church so much. You're here on a Monday night. How about that? That's a blessing. And thank you also for this ministry, this place. I know it's a blessing here locally. I need to cough for a second. I'm just sorry. Clear my throat. But I know it's a blessing locally and a blessing to you and your families and all the relationships there. But I just want to tell you what y'all are doing here has been a blessing to all of us that don't live locally, that live in the state or around the world. It's been such a blessing. And thank you also for sharing Pastor Dan with me. He has been, I cannot begin to express how much of a blessing he has been to me. And if I talked about it too much, I might get emotional, and I'm 6 foot four, and I'm not supposed to do that, right? I'm supposed to be a big tough guy, so I'm not going to do that. So take your Bibles, go to Philippians chapter 4, but just thank you. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for everything. Thank you for letting me be a part of this conference. It's been a blessing to me already, and I'm excited to open the Word of God and break the bread of life with you this evening. Philippians chapter 4, page 1223 in your pew Bible. Amen? All right. Philippians chapter 4, let's read a few verses together, and we'll look at verse number 1. To begin with, and we do want to spend a moment here this evening together on talking about how ministry is an opportunity to be a team player on a winning team. And I'm thankful to get to preach to you twice this week, and we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3 and Philippians chapter 4, and some of that's going to go together, but we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4 tonight. Let's look at verse number 1 of Philippians chapter 4. The Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." I know he means he loves them because he said it twice. Verse number 2, "I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." So you like that last part of verse number 8. It's all good, of course. Amen. It's just like God wrote it for us, and it's given it to us, and we still have it today. Thank God for that. But the last part says, if. There's a condition on there, depending on what you're thinking about. It says, if there be any praise, think on these things. Sometimes we don't feel like praising God. We don't. You know whose fault that is? That's our fault. We've been thinking about the wrong things. And if we think about the wrong things, it steals our praise away from us. If we think about the right things, then we have plenty to praise the Lord for. It's all about what we're thinking about. And I want to talk about that for a few minutes together this evening. I'm so thankful for the Apostle Paul and what God gave him, that body of truth, that body of doctrine that kind of has, we have a bullseye on our chest, and it hits us right there in that bullseye. It's especially for us, and he's writing to these believers at Philippi, and this is perfect information to help us be a team player on a winning team, even in 2014. Amen? And what a blessing that is. Chapter 3, verse number 1, it all kind of goes together. He says, "Finally, my brethren." Now, that's a preacher after my own heart. He says, "Finally," then he writes 43 more verses. I like that. Sometimes I close 3, 4, 5 times during a sermon, you know. Doesn't mean you have to stop right then, amen. You just keep on going, keep on plugging. But I like verse number 1 of chapter 4 because it's that word therefore. And I know you're taught to study the Bible here at Crossroads, and I thank God for that. And Pastor Dan's ministry and the other pastors have been such a benefit to me and so many other men that are laboring also in the Word of God and trying to teach and preach the Bible. You see that word therefore, it's there for a reason. And so the truth that Paul is stating in chapter 4 is based on the truth he just stated in chapter 3. He's saying, therefore, you look to see what it's there for. Why should we as brethren that are loved by God and loved by this man here in Philippi, why should we stand fast in the Lord? Well, he just got done talking about it in chapter 3 that Jesus is coming back for us. Amen? The imminent return, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to step out on a cloud one of these days. Have you ever tried to step on a cloud before? Don't do it. Amen? But Jesus is going to do it, and it's going to work for him. And by the way, he's going to let us in on it. Amen? He's going to gather us all together unto himself. We're going to meet him in the air, the Bible says. So based upon the imminent return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's some things we ought to do right now. There's ministry opportunities for me and for you right now. Today is the day to serve the Lord. Today is the day to get involved with what God has for us to do. We need to be a team player on a winning team. Amen? Verse number 21 of the previous passage there, the previous chapter, Philippians chapter 3, says that Jesus Christ is going to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Do you realize that as a player, as a saved believer, As someone in Christ Jesus, do you realize you're on the eternal winning team, number one, and he's even given you a uniform to wear for all eternity? He's going to take this vile body, and we can do the best we can with it. My wife dressed me up the best she could tonight. She don't have much to work with. God's going to take this vile body, and he's going to fashion it, make it like unto his glorious body. Hey, that's a uniform that'll last as long as God lasts. Amen? We'll live as long as God lives. And it says he's going to subdue all things unto himself. That's what one team does to the other team. If there's another team opposing them, you know what they want to do? They want to execute the game plan. They want to accomplish the goals in front of them. And they're going to subdue the enemy. They're going to subdue the other team. God's going to use us as members on his winning team to subdue his creation. What a blessing that is to think about it. It's a blessing to be in Christ Jesus, to be a team player on a winning team. We have this uniform of a glorified body, and we have the victory that God's given us eternally in Jesus Christ. And that's why in verse number 1 it says, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast. Fasten down tight. Fasten securely. Founded on the eternal game plan that the coach has given us. Amen. Stand fast in the Lord. And that's why he starts getting into a little more detail here. He talks about how they're beloved. You know, that word beloved. I like the words in English. You just separate the word beloved out and it's be loved. I understand what that means, to be loved. That you have your Bible Institute, and that's in view this week, and praise God for your Bible Institute. It's like the old Bible teacher. He was on his deathbed. And by the way, if you ever see a deathbed, don't lie down in it, okay? Just keep walking. Keep going. I'm sorry. But anyway, he was on his deathbed, and his Bible students that had been influenced by him and had learned the Bible from him from a sampling of many years, they came and gathered there, and they were there to honor the man that had influenced them so greatly. And as they're gathered around him, one of the Bible students thought they would ask him this question. They said, "Sir, what is the greatest truth that you've ever taught any of us, your students?" And that old gentleman, with all the strength he could muster that he had left in his physical body, kind of raised up on his right elbow, and he said, "Here's the greatest truth I ever taught. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." And that's the same thing for us. You know that the Bible says God loves us, and that love was proved in Jesus Christ, his finished work on the cross of Calvary, his death, his burial, his resurrection, according to the Scriptures. Aren't you glad that you're beloved? You're a member of the beloved in Christ Jesus. That's a blessing to me to think about that. When you're on the same team, you love somebody. You're there for them. You long for them. You consider when somebody else has a victory, that's your victory also. Amen. You know, that quarterback throws a touchdown pass. Well, he would not have done that if there weren't five or so guys blocking for him in front of him. Because it's hard to throw a touchdown pass when you're lying flat on your back. No, when they have a victory, it's your victory also. You celebrate that together, and that's what we have. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. He He shares that with us. We're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. What a blessing it is to think about that. He talks about in verse number 2, he says, I beseech Euodias. I even went to the front pronunciation table in my Cambridge Bible, because I would say it differently, but that it says it's Syntyche. That's a funny name. These two people were probably making fun of each other's names. And he says you need to have the same mind. Because if you're on the same team and you have a different mind about things, then you're not going to be a good team player. So he says you have to have the same mind. Your fellow laborers together. Your yoke fellows together. And I beseech these two team members. Every team member is important. They have to be of the same mind in the Lord. Not, get in mind with Syntyche or get in mind with Euodias. No, be of the same mind in the Lord. It's not your mind or my mind that we need to get in line. It's God's mind. Both of us getting in with the coach. Amen? Getting on the same page and on the same step with the coach that has given us the instruction. That's what the scripture is talking about here. It continues to talk about yoke fellow in verse 3. As some fellows in the same yoke, right? You need to be pulling the same way if you're in a yoke. If you have one fellow going to the right, one fellow going to the left, you're not going to plow very straight. It's going to be crooked. No, you have to be pulling the same direction. And the great apostle Paul said, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Do you believe it? For all of us male chauvinists, that the apostle Paul needed women's help? You think about that. That just shows you everybody's a valuable member on the winning team, no matter what some of our preconceived ideas might be. No, the great apostle Paul, thankful for those women that labored with him in the work of the ministry. And the gospel, what a blessing that is to understand that. All the world has all kinds of ideas about what's good advice, and you can hear all kinds of silly things, you can read all kinds of silly things, but the Bible is where we find out how to have a successful life before the Lord. How to see those little victories because God's given us the big victory. Those little victories that we need day after day. Did you hear about that one? I don't know, this is kind of silly, but I'd never let that stop me when I'm preaching. Hear about the one fella, he told his son, he says, if you want to live a long, healthy life, to be successful in life, sprinkle a little gunpowder on your eggs every morning. Remember that, Brother Steve? Okay. Is that what they do in Red Lion? I'm just kidding. Shoe fly pie. But anyway, you ever had that before? But anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't take my medication tonight. But so sprinkle a little gunpowder on your eggs every morning. So this young man did that. His father told him to, and he lived to be like 97 years old. He had like 8 kids and like 20 grandkids and 10 great-grandchildren when he died. They say he left all this family behind, all those children, all those grandchildren, all those great-grandchildren, and he also left a 15-foot hole in the crematorium. Go out with a bang, amen? Some would say that's good advice. You know where I find good advice? Not in the things of this world, not the world's game plan, but if you look to the scripture, you find the right advice for every play, for every day, for every step you take. We can walk by faith and follow this eternal game plan. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord endureth forever. And we get to live with eternity in view. We get to make a difference in eternity with this temporal life that God has gifted to us. What a blessing it is to engage ourselves being a team player on God's eternal winning team. Now, before I give you four things in the passage, and we'll get to our booklet here in just a second. Before I give you that, I want to, one reference that I left out that I neglected to include in the booklet is 1 Corinthians 10:17. Would you look at that with me real quickly, and then we'll jump right into this. Sometimes my introductions are longer than the message, and you might have already been concerned about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 17. You remember this verse? Let's make an application in scripture with the passage that we have tonight in Philippians chapter 4. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:17, for we being many are one bread and one body. for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, that first part of that verse, for we being many, it's like a team can have, I mean, think about those college football teams. I don't know if you're a college football fan, and I know what we have, not too terribly far down the road, is the University of Florida Gators, and I have no allegiance there. I'm not going to cheer. I'm not go Tim Tebow. You know, he's not playing anymore, is he? But anyway, there's a lot of team members on that team. Yet they're known as the Florida Gators. You know, there's a lot of team members on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yet I believe they're still known as the Jacksonville Jaguars. You understand that when you're in Christ Jesus, and when you're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, and you're in Christ, that no longer do you have your individual identity anymore. Now you're on that winning team of Christ. That's how God sees you. I mean, you think about the word bread. There's a lot of individual ingredients that goes into bread. I've never made any, but I've eaten plenty in my time. And yet there's flour, there's grain, there's honey, there's sugar, there's salt, there's yeast, there's Skittles, M&M's, whatever else you put in your bread. There's lots of ingredients, but when it comes out of the oven and you serve it to the people seated around the table, you don't say, pass me the yeast, the salt, the honey, the grain, you know, the golden grams. You don't say any of that. You say, pass me the bread. All those ingredients have lost their identity and taken on a new identity. Hey. That's how it is in Christ Jesus. We're team members on a winning team, and God reckons us eternally as Christ Jesus, as accepted in the beloved, as His Son in whom He is well pleased. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. What a blessing. And if you keep that in view, you'll stand fast in the Lord, and you'll walk by that eternal game plan, walking by faith. So let's look at that in Philippians chapter 4. Four things here quickly that helps us have the right focus, being that team player on a winning team. The first thing we find in verse number 4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So number one that we'll look at in our booklet is the first thing we have to do to have the winning focus. We have to have the winning focus by rejoicing. When do we rejoice? According to the Bible, we rejoice in the Lord always. So that means in all ways of life, how do we respond? We rejoice. Oh, it's easy to rejoice in the good times of life, in the high times of life, when we feel like we're walking in the blessings of God, when we're realizing that even in our outward circumstances, oh yeah, we can smile, and oh yeah, we can be cheerful, and oh yeah, we can maybe be kind or friendly to somebody else, but what about during the difficult times of life? Because we're all down here on this old ball of dirt, we're going to face the hard times, the sufferings of this present time. That's how this age can be characterized. The Apostle Paul went through suffering after suffering, after a hard time, after difficulty, yet he rejoiced always. In all ways of life, he rejoiced. Oh, we have different races that we run, like Pastor Grover told us, and we understand that. And that person's race might seem easier to me than my race over here or somebody else's race over there. But it's not about comparing ourselves among ourselves, because that's not wise, the Scripture says. It's about running with faith the race that's set before us. And what do during the hard times or the happy times of life? You just keep rejoicing. Rejoice always, the Bible tells us. And again, I say rejoice. That's what he said. Every way you take, the easy ways, the hard ways, you keep rejoicing. If I had time, we'd go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you're in the habit of taking notes, maybe you could look at this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 through 10. It's one long sentence. From verse number 4 all the way through verse number 10, it's not a period. There's other punctuation. There's other things used, but not a period. It's one long thought, one long sentence, and it's all, for the most part, the hard things that Paul endured, that he went through. I mean, he was beaten publicly. He was lied about. He was accused. He was thrown in prison. He was a shipwreck in the sea. All the things that happened to him. Over and over and over again. You know what he says at the end of that whole long passage about how bad, how rough his ministry had been? You know what he said? He says, yet always rejoicing. Yet always rejoicing. He actually was saying, this is proof of who I am in ministry, an apostle approved before God. Here's my approval. Look what God has brought me through. And he wasn't saying, feel sorry for me, have compassion on me, because it's been hard, it's been tough, it's been difficult. He's like, look what God has done. He brought me through this, and he brought me through that, and he brought me through this over here. And yet, I'm rejoicing in all things, because only God could bring me through those things. So you have the right focus as a team player on a winning team when you rejoice always. Romans 5:3, we glory in tribulations also, the Bible tells us. That's what Paul said. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, therefore I will rather glory in my infirmities. Chapter 12, verse 10 of 2 Corinthians, he says, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities. When you're sick, when your flesh is weak, when you're diseased or persecuted, do you take pleasure in that? It's hard to do that, humanly speaking, but Paul said, I rejoiced. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that wrote that. It's a true record of what God did living out through a man in his earthly life. What a blessing it is when you know you are on a winning team and that God has given you the eternal victory in Christ Jesus, you can deal with the hard times of life because it's just for a moment. It really is a light affliction when you weigh it compared to the eternity we have in Jesus Christ. For the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. There's a whole lot more that could be said, but there's more instructions that God gives us in this passage. Look at verse number 5. The second thing we'll look at is that the winning focus includes being moderate in life. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now that's a good Bible word, the word moderation. That means restraint. That's how it's used in the context. That's calmness of mind. It's being a reasonable person, not excessive. You know, your flesh is prone to be excessive. Your flesh will overdo it. You give your flesh an inch and it'll take a mile. Your flesh is a spoiled 3-year-old child, is what it is. It doesn't like to be told no. You have addictions recovery ministry here. You know why? Why you deal with those things? And I'm so thankful you have that. And I'm trying to learn more about that. And appreciate Pastor Shannon today helping me with that. And I'm going to look more into that. Yet, the reason you have that is because your flesh wants to be in control. It wants the steering wheel of your everyday life. It wants to be the boss. And the Bible says the way to have the right focus today is to be moderate. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. Not letting the flesh be in control. A valuable team member can't be considering himself every play. It's about me. No, it's about winning. It's about accomplishing the goal that the coach put before us. It's not about you. Sometimes you have to get down the trenches and you have to do your job that no one will recognize and no one will appreciate or thank you for, maybe until later, but you got to do that job because that's the best thing for the team. So you have to let your moderation be made known unto all men. And why? And I'll hurry on to say this. Why do you have to make your moderation known? Because the Lord is at hand. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior that I mentioned earlier, the Lord Jesus is going to be, He's going to be returning. And when He comes back, that's an abrupt end to this age of grace. There will be no more time for you in Christ Jesus to accomplish more on this earth for God's eternal kingdom. No, that's when the final seconds tick off the clock. That's when it's over. So right now is the time to be engaged. And that focus includes being moderate. The Lord is at hand. What greater motivation can we think of than the imminent return of and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Let me look at verse 6 real quickly. Verse number 6. The third thing that's going to help us have the winning focus, the right focus. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. So be careful for nothing and in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. As a team player on the Lord's team, we need to stay in continual communication with our captain, with our coach. Have you thought about the word communion before? The relationship we have in Christ Jesus, in the word communion, you see the word union there. It helps us understand because of what we are in Christ Jesus, we've been placed in Him, we have to continually communicate with Him. He communicates with us through His eternal word, and we need to be receptive to that. being full of care. That's what the word careful is talking about. It's like the parable, like the story over there in the Gospels about the seed being choked up by the cares of this world. Well, that's how we are, humanly speaking. We can be choked out and drugged down and weighed down by the cares of everyday life. Well, not if you're taking every care that comes your way and passing it on to the one that can't be choked down. Amen? Giving it to the Lord, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, the Bible says. And when the cares come our way, we're just redirecting them. They're coming, they're hitting you right between the eyes. That's okay. Just give them to the Lord Jesus. He's never gotten a black eye from the cares of this world. He can handle them. His knees will never buckle. His back will never be strained. He can carry it. His yoke is easy and His burden is light, the Scripture says. So we have the right focus, the winning focus, by praying. And that's what, I guess you could say it this way, in everything by prayer, in all our ways of life, we're supposed to rejoice. In all our days, everything of life, we need to pray. Keep talking to God. Keep communing with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's going to give us that winning focus that we need today and tomorrow and all our days that end in Y. Amen? We have to have that winning focus, and it's only going to help us if we pray and give those things to God. And look at verse 7, of course, the lasting, the results of the peace that only comes from God that the world does not understand. And the peace of God, it doesn't matter if you have cares hitting you and bouncing off of you and trying to choke you down. No, because of your relationship with Christ, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Helps us have that winning focus by praying. And then lastly, of course, verse number 8. We have the winning focus by the right kind of thinking. Remember what the writer in Proverbs said in chapter 23, verse 7? He says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Last part of verse number 8 says, "If there be any praise," if you're thinking on the right things, you can always praise God. But if you're thinking on the wrong thing, someone called that stinking thinking, right? If you're thinking on the wrong things, it'll rob you of your praise. We have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The devil and this world can't do nothing about that. They can't touch that. Yet, they'll make you think they can if you don't respond the scriptural way to the cares of life you deal with. If you think the wrong way. Someone talked about the illustration of the birds, both the hummingbird and the vulture. In Polk County, we call it a buzzard, not a vulture. But both the hummingbird and the vulture fly over our nation's deserts. All the vultures see is the rotting meat. And that's what they look for. They thrive. The buzzards, the vultures, they thrive on that diet. But the hummingbirds ignore the smelly flesh of dead animals. Instead, they look for the colorful blossoms of desert plants. The vultures, they live on what was. They live on the past. They fill themselves with what is dead and gone. But hummingbirds live on what is, what's new, the new life. They fill themselves with freshness and life. Each bird finds what it's looking for. We all do. All of us birds do. Amen. We all find what we're looking for. And what we think affects what we believe, and what we believe affects what we act out day in and day out. So the therefore, in verse number 1, it's there for a reason. Because of what we have in Christ Jesus, because God has given us the eternal victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to get to talk about it this week, and I'm so excited about that. When Christ rose from the dead, 40 days later, He ascended up to heaven. And when He went through the second heaven, He didn't stop there. He went up through that third heaven. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 that He ascended and He spoiled principalities. Colossians chapter 2, actually. So He went above all principalities and powers. Everything now where Christ is seated is under His feet. It's all beneath Him. It's all below Him. It's all been conquered and defeated by Him. He has the eternal victory. He spoiled the principalities. He broke through. He scored a touchdown and He spiked the football. Amen? That's what He did. He spiked that football in the end zone of eternity, and we have that victory in Christ Jesus. He is our head. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6. And to realize that victory every day of your life, there's some things you can focus on in this passage that will help see that come to fruition. Help that be lived out and expressed in your daily life. And right thinking includes being in this book, thinking on these things. Amen? The Bible will meet every qualification given in verse number 8. Eternal Word of God will meet everything that's spoken of there. And we can think of other things, but these are the eternal words that God has given us in Christ Jesus. Think on these things. Remember that story about the fellows over in the old country, over in England? There's this young student, and he was learning the Bible, and he had found out that even sometimes more than some of his official classes that he was taking, that his talks with a local cobbler were really helping him understand the Scripture, and the Scripture was coming alive to him, a local cobbler, someone that fixes shoes. And he was telling this to another seminary student, or a student that was in seminary there in the old country, and he had a puffed up way about him, and knowledge puffeth up, and he was kind of puffed up, and he said, "Well, I want to ask this cobbler some questions. He won't be able to answer my questions like he's answering your questions." So he went to him, and he went to that old cobbler, and he says, "I heard that you understand the Scripture." And the man was very humble and said, "I love to study the Bible, the eternal words of Christ." And he says, "Well, what did that mean in the Old Testament, the Urim and the Thummim? What did that mean, sir?" And he gave him a brief answer. He says, "Well, I'm not exactly sure, but it seems to me that the Bible is speaking of something that the high priest used to kind of divine the will of God back in those days before they had the Word of God complete." Gave an answer something similar to that. He goes, "But you know, young man," he goes, "the Urim and the Thummim, that might be something that was used at one time, but I realize if I just take those two words and I change one letter in each, that I can just start using and thumbing." Just start using and thumbing, right, through the eternal words of God. And I find that I divine the will of God that way. Amen? Everything that God, the captain, the coach wants me to know, He's given me right here in the game plan. He's given you your own copy. You can take it home. You can spend time with it all the time you want. Here's the game plan. We're going to huddle together sometimes. The pastor's going to take the playbook out. He's going to talk about it. We're going to get together. We're going to huddle. We're going to say, "Alrighty, ready, break." And we're going to accomplish the play. When we go out the doors, we're going to accomplish God's work and God's will. And we can do that every day. Because we're what? We're have an opportunity for ministry. We're team players on a winning team. That's what God has given us in Christ Jesus.